All right, let's start from the book of Colossians chapter 1. Whatever version you have, let's all read it together. We'll start from verse 9, all right? If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's start from verse 9. I want to go. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attainment of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's stop in verse 14 there. Let's just read 13 and 14 again. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, before we before we start our teaching for today, let's just quickly, once again, take these confessions to charge our spirits up. All right, we have, there's a prayer we prayed before. Like I said, I do pray this prayer for anyone who listens to me. And if you indeed are listening to the word of God that I am teaching, then I have prayed this prayer for you. And it's working in your life. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
All right, so let us declare it like this. Say, I have the knowledge of his will. Say, I just want you to close your eyes and say it convincingly. Say, I am filled with the knowledge of his will.
I am filled with the knowledge of his will.
I am filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
I am filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and
Say it like you believe it. I have spiritual wisdom.
I have spiritual wisdom.
Say it, I have understanding.
I have understanding.
Say it, I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I walk in a manner worthy of
and
the Lord.
And I please him in all respects. I bear fruit in every good work. And I'm always increasing in the knowledge of God. I am strengthened with all power.
I am strengthened with his glorious might.
Say, I am attaining all steadfastness and patience.
And
I'm always giving thanks to the Father. Say it, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ,
I have been qualified
to share in the inheritance of the saints. Say it, I am walking in the light.
I am
sharing my inheritance.
I'm
walking in the will of God.
I am
filled with the knowledge of his will.
I
walk in a manner pleasing worthy of the Lord. And I please him in everything that I do.
Every moment of my life,
I walk in a manner pleasing to the Lord. Say it, he has rescued me from the domain of darkness. Now I am in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ.
In him I have redemption.
Say it, in him I have redemption.
My sins are forgiven.
Now it's very important you understand this. As I'm going to teach today, as we conclude our series, how to deal with the devil in your life, you will see the power of sin. The power of sin, that is what Satan uses to bind people. And sin is very interesting. It gives Satan, it's just a magnet for Satan. All right? And sometimes it's in there. People don't realize they are forgotten when they allow that thing to come into their life. When you understand the word of God, you know that indeed you are free. You know, one of the reasons why I am angry with the term ancestral curses, the way it's used, is that they tell Christians they are under an ancestral curse. People say it when indeed they have been redeemed. Are you getting my point? So when you say that I have been redeemed, what you are saying is that I am not under any curse of any ancestor. Even the curses that my own works brought into my life, I have been freed from them. Are you getting my point? All right, that's why we say it boldly. Say it again. I have been removed from the domain of darkness.
I have been removed from the domain of darkness.
If I let me use the word that my version, New American Standard, uses, I have been rescued from the domain of darkness.
Say,
now I am in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now I am in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus
Say, in him I have redemption.
In him I have redemption.
The forgiveness of my sins.
The forgiveness of my sins.
Say, for this reason,
the prince of this world is coming.
But he has nothing in me.
But he has nothing in
Because I have the forgiveness of sins. The prince of this world may come, but he cannot hold me down. Say, death may come, but it can't hold me. It can't hold me. Say, poverty may come, but it will not be able to hold me. Failure may come, but it can't stay in my home. Because I have redemption in Christ Jesus. Say it, because I have redemption in Christ Jesus, the forgiveness of my sins. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away in my life. Say it, I walk above sin. I walk above the devil. I walk in righteousness. And I walk in holiness unto the Lord. Let's declare this again before we sit down. Say, my eyes are open. I have understanding. You see, one of the things that God does to people that he wants to punish is that he removes understanding from them. He said to Isaiah, go and tell these people, hear and don't understand, and see and don't perceive. All right? He said, this is how people go into destruction. When they hear and they don't understand, when they see things and they cannot decode what they are seeing, that's how they enter into destruction. And that's why Paul prayed from that Ephesians chapter 1, that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. And the same thing he prayed in this Colossians chapter 1, which we have all prayed for ourselves, and which, like I said, I pray for everybody that listens to me. So because of that, declare it with conviction. I have understanding.
I have understanding.
My eyes are open.
My eyes are open.
My eyes are open.
My eyes are open.
I see things.
And
I perceive the instruction of God.
I hear things.
And I have understanding.
In
the name of Jesus Christ. Say, this is the gift of God to me.
The spirit of wisdom.
The spirit of revelation.
And the spirit of knowledge.
I have it in Jesus' name. Say
it
like you believe it. Say, I have it.
I have it.
I have it.
I have it.
As you are saying it, every confusion in your life is destroyed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody came in here this evening thinking, what do I do? I said to you now, that confusion has been broken in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What to do is clear to you now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, say, Father, we thank you. Just thank him in your own way. Just say thank you in your own way, in your own language, if that way you like it, and take your seats. All right, the Lord is good. Let's conclude today the teaching on how to deal with the devil in your life. We'll take a number of scriptures as our text. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6. I will read also from the book of Luke chapter 4. Let's start from the book of Luke chapter 4. What we want to read is the temptations of Jesus, which I believe almost every believer who has been one for some time know very well. You also bring a principle from it that is so obvious, but people often don't bother to practice. Now, we'll read there from verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. Again, I just always like to drop this here and there. He ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, when the days had ended, that was when he became hungry. The one that you think that being hungry is a sign of your spirituality. Because Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days, please drop that idea. When we begin to speak on Saturday about Christ Jesus again, I will explain some of these errors that have become part of us as Christians. And that causes us to misinterpret some scriptures. You know, he said, you err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. We think that Jesus was hungry for 40 days. Jesus was not hungry for 40 days. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. He did not eat for 40 days. When the days had ended, he became hungry. That's what the Bible says. I didn't manufacture it. It's right in there. So it's not really the last time you ate really alone that determines whether you are hungry or not. It's something to do with your nature. It has to do with, there are so many characteristics about it. And if you ate 4 wraps of okpa in the morning, you will not be hungry till tomorrow. The Lord is good. Now, what I'm just trying to bring out, just to highlight it, just brief, just by the way, all right, is the fact that Jesus was not hungry for 40 days. Even though he did not eat for 40 days, he was not hungry for those 40 days. And what the Bible says is that afterward, when the days had ended, he became hungry. It is clear there. I'm not manufacturing it. I just want Christians to just forget this idea that Jesus fasted for 40 days, so they have to fast for 40 days. Meanwhile, the first day, they are hungry by evening. The next day, they can't talk anymore. The day after that, they are seeing visions. And these are not visions of God. They are visions of hunger. Listen, that's not Christianity. You know, not many people you hear say these things when I say them, but please stop it. I keep on saying that thing. Stop that nonsense. If this fighting hunger when you are praying is not the will of God. Yeah, I mean that later. You know, so because people get this impression that, you know, when you really have to do battle, you go hungry. Jesus didn't go hungry. He just did not eat. The Bible makes it clear, he was not hungry that period. Moses was before God for 40 days, he was not hungry. Elijah ate two meals. And the Bible says in the strength of that meal, those two meals, he walked all the way for 40 days to Mount Horeb. You get the principle? For 40 days, he was using the two meals. In fact, one meal actually, because he ate, stopped eating, fell asleep, the angel woke him up and said, eat some more, because the journey is long. And the Bible says he went in the strength of that meal. Just like you could have gone in the strength of one meal from morning till evening, Elijah used it for 40 days trekking. I want you to bear that thing in mind. He was not hungry for 40 days. He just did not eat for 40 days. If you're feeling hungry, that's your problem. I'm not going to say that you must go and eat, and I'm not talking about that. But don't even let that give you the impression that you're very spiritual and you're doing a spiritual battle. You're just hungry. You're just hungry. The people you are copying were not hungry. Jesus was not hungry for 40 days. Moses was not hungry, was in the presence of God. Neither was Elijah who did 40 days. These are the few people we know that went like that for 40 days. This arm of flesh that you say, I want to put my body under. It is not your body you are putting under. I just wanted to drop that one again. What is Christianity? Are you saying we shouldn't fast? Understand what the fast of Christianity is. It's the time that a man, that a woman takes aside to go and seek the face of God. The thing about it is not the hunger, but the concentration on prayer and the word of God, in which every other thing, including watching Manchester United and Manchester City, becomes a distraction. In which picking a newspaper to find out who had an accident and who killed who is in confab, who is not in confab, that one also becomes what? A distraction. In which going around marketing. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have a job that requires you should market. That also becomes what? A distraction. So you should do it when maybe you have time, maybe like a weekend, or you're on leave, stuff like that. Or even if it is a period that you're working. Yeah, because this thing, there's no hard and fast rule. You're working, but you take time out. Anytime you're free, you get my point. It's not every time in the office that you are busy, depending on where you work. But instead of sitting down with colleagues, lunchtime, you understand, and chatting away, that is a good thing, a good time. Everybody's gone for lunch. You return to your cubicle in the office. And that 15 minutes, that 20 minutes, all right, that everybody else is discussing, you are seeking the face of God. How do you do it? Just by reading the scriptures and praying. That's all. It's not by crossing your leg and doing yoga. It's just simple. Sometimes you just put, maybe you want to listen to a message. Yeah, let me do another 15 minutes of this before this guy has come back. I told the story of Derek Prince. I was listening to him again, and he said that the Holy Spirit led him to fast, I think, every week or twice a week. I can't remember. Point is that he said that because he lived with the other soldiers in the barrack, well, in their camp, and all the soldiers were always making noise and they are foul-mouthed people. When all of them would go to eat, that was the only period he used to be alone. Are you getting my point? So it was a time he spent focusing on spiritual things. Forget this trust you have in punishing yourself, thinking that God will answer you like that. He doesn't. You hear what I said? He doesn't too. Oh, we'll talk about that beginning from Saturday. All right? Let me not digress too much into it now. I just want to emphasize for some people. All right? So in case you wonder when you say, why have I fasted and God hasn't heard? That is the reason. Because you were thinking that the more you go hungry, the more he will listen. And he's saying, no, that's not what I'm trying to achieve. I want to give you understanding. I want to give you insight. Until you gain understanding and get insight and know the proper words to use and the decisions to make in life and how to make the right choices, things are not going to change for you. You understand the point? That's what he's saying. All right? So, but you unconsciously think that, in fact, I heard a man preaching. I was driving past the place. So he was announcing that they are going to have this prayer meeting and they are going to be in church from 10 o'clock till 5 o'clock. How many of you are going to be there? I was passing the church. I'm not a member. All right? And I assume that everybody put up their hand. He said, how can you be here from 10 to 5 and God will not hear you? He will hear you. I felt like going to knock the door of the church. Pastor, it's not true. I almost went to, you know, I felt like, what? And you know, he was saying it. No, we are going to be here. And we are here from 10 to 5. God will hear us. How can you be here from that length of time? I will not hear. I said, this man, you don't know God yet. You can be here there for 10 days and he will not hear. And you can be there for 1 minute and he hears. No, you know, people have a lot of faith in things that don't carry any weight spiritually. Like Jesus said clearly, it's not the multitude of words. No, it's not the multitude of words. People talk and talk and talk. Because that statement you made, I heard it the first time. Saying it 20 times does not change anything. Are you getting my point? All right, I'm just dropping that so that it didn't just hanging on my face, all right? Let me just try and release it. I hope you understood me there. If you understood, say amen. All right, so let's go on. Let's continue reading. The Bible says in verse 3, and the devil said to him, if you are the son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Now, next thing I want you to understand is this. You will notice that it was when he had finished the fast that the devil began to tempt him some more. If you read in context, you know that during that period, he also had some temptations. The details are not given. But you notice that when he became hungry, the devil said to him, that is, people often think that, in fact, actually, I've heard this recently, all right? That when you take time out to fast, the devil will leave you alone. I don't know where they got it from. So we're talking about how to deal with the devil in your life. You don't deal with the devil by fasting. The more you fast, the more he comes. Did you notice that? The fast did not drive the devil away, it attracted him. I'm not saying don't fast because of that too. I didn't say that. That's not what I'm trying to say. But you can see from here. Now, actually, what happened is that there's what the Bible calls, there's a concept you see in the scripture that I described in that book, How to Walk for God. When I talk about prayer, it's walking. You understand that it's work. Prayer is work, all right? I explained that. What happens is that sometimes there's what, like Daniel called in the period of weariness, all right? He had been, you know, praying, he had not eaten and all of that, okay? That a lot of people think that if you have been praying, and then you haven't eaten, then you see, he's fasting and praying, then the devil will run. But go and check it. That is when he actually comes to tempt. Because a lot of times, because you have been walking, you are easier to test at that period. We need to realign these things. You should know what scares the devil. You think because you are coming from church, the devil won't, he will leave you alone. He knows you are coming from church. He said, guys, this guy is coming from church. Let's go and steal the thing he took from church. As I'm just coming from that, listen, that taxi, the devil is waiting for you. As you stop the taxi to go home, the taxi driver, the devil don't possess him. He's not kidnapping you. That's not what I mean. You just be saying, this country is such a useless country. And you just came from church. I said, Oga, hey, why you were in church? I heard that thieves went and attacked this place and shot 5 people. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Who will now protect us? We're in trouble. We're dead. And just left church in which you're saying that no evil shall befall me. Neither will any plague come near my dwelling place. The devil too knows. He said, what do I do to remove this thing from this guy? Does he have a car? No. Good. Go and possess a taxi man. Make sure it's cheap. So he stopped. Taxi. Please, Abakwa. Maybe normal people will collect 600 naira. So the man will say, 600, say, Oga, you know, go take 200. Now just because now you enter. You don't realize that, hey, listen, he doesn't know you from anywhere. It's Satan that wants to steal
the thing you just left church with. So as you are going home, the man starts his story. You won't believe that they just went and if they can kidnap the cousin of the president, what will happen to common men like you? And you look at me? Yes. The way I'm looking at you, you don't know anybody. In fact, the police that we thought would be the one protecting us, do you know we found out that one of the kidnappers in the other case was a policeman? We are all in trouble. And as you're going like this, that's Satan. You don't know it's Satan. You all keep quiet and say, Nawao. Ah! Once you say Nawao, the guy says, yes, some more. And let's even forget this kidnapping thing. What about money? Do you know federal government did not agree to pay salaries or even allocations to the deal? And how can economic activity be generated? In fact, we're in trouble. Critical time like this, fuel is going up in price. They want to remove subsidy and kill all of people like you who don't own a car. You thought that because you just left church, Satan will leave you alone. Lie. That is when he's waiting. Say, this boy, this girl is dangerous. So let's quickly go and collect the thing that they took from church with which they want to come and scatter our arrangements. Let's collect it quickly. There are phone calls you don't take after church. You know them. If you are the type that your mother is always harassing you. So when are we coming to, once you finish church, just see the call ID, mommy. Just do call reject. You know, they say automated call reject. This is smartphones. Just slide it up, tap. Cannot call, please call back later. I cannot take this call right now. Your mother will get the text. If you are not saying you are in church, you are not saying you are because you can't talk now. Say, let that word soak in first. You know the adversaries. Satan is not always, that's a mistake people make. I'm talking about how to deal with the devil in your life. People are waiting. Who is Satan? That my neighbor that says I will not progress. That my father's second wife that doesn't want my mother's children to make progress. Listen, in life, the person that has more Satan is your mother than her rival. Did you ever hear anywhere that Satan went and possessed the Pharisees? Think about it for a moment. Was there anywhere you heard that the Pharisees were possessed by Satan? The two people in the satanic interaction with Jesus Christ that Satan went into were disciples. One of them, the thief, one of them, the loyal guy. One, Judas, Satan entered him. Peter began to say, no, we won't let them kill you. Jesus said, Satan. Did you notice? I'm not saying you should cast your mother out. I'm just trying to say that before you start pursuing your father's second wife, look at your mother first critically. Because Satan doesn't come with this kind of kill somebody. You will not prosper. No. He doesn't. You see, as I go on, he doesn't. What he tries to say is that, I know what they are saying in your church is true. It's just that you won't hear that from your stepmother. It's only your mother that will tell you that. Yes, your stepmother won't say it. What your pastor said is not bad, Sha. It's just that. I remember once, this actually happened. This was, people say Nigeria is not as good as it used to be. I don't believe them, all right? I've lived for a while, I was an adult during the days of SAP. I've seen things change, here and there. I mean, Enugu, the number of cars in Enugu more than doubled over the last 14 years. You're a witness, It really happened. Anyway, those days, I remember one of those days when it didn't make sense if you're a doctor and a young one at that, to remain in Nigeria. It did not make any sense. It didn't make any sense. My salary that time was equivalent of $70 a month. People say money had more value there. Dollar na dollar. $70 was what I was earning in 1 month. So as of today, calculate it, you know what it comes to. So I remember one of those days I got home. So we're discussing this and this and that. Of course, some people have come to talk to my mother. Not the way, normal discussion. He now made a statement that maybe you should, that kind of, maybe you two should. I said, mommy, Archbishop Idahosa said, a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. She just got up. You have come again. You know that kind of. She just got up and walked away. I said, is it truth? Is it word of God? No, I don't want her straight. I mean, you can. She was concerned for me. Are you getting my point? Look at this young boy. He's not going anywhere. In quote, you understand my point? The country is not good for him, and he's quoting one archbishop. I still remember that discussion that day. They said that there's this cousin of mine, second cousin, right? The mother is my mother's cousin, all right? And I just sent one Mercedes-Benz down home for the mother. And what I'm thinking of is that, what is it? Old motor. The man calling the old motor, not get old keke, but the fact was that my attitude, I remember that my mother was just exasperated. Like, what is wrong with you? Anyway, thank God for some streaks of stubbornness. If you want to be stubborn in life, make sure it's stubbornness according to the word of God. Yes. That one was with me. My mother, my mother-in-law, all of them, they now believe that my wife and I are very wise people. Are you getting my point? Yes. Now they believe that if it's wisdom, these children, they have it. I'm not children now, you know some point, but you know, but to them. You get my point? Yes. Now, why did I say that? Don't even think because you came to church, Satan has left you alone. That is the reason why he's following you. If he didn't come to church, he won't follow you. He knows this guy, his case is in the bag, like they say. If you don't go to church, he knows your case is closed. He knows where to find you when he wants you. One man was talking to my wife the other day. He was saying that, I don't go to church, I don't believe in God, but my own Christianity is in my heart. I don't do anybody any evil. I said to my wife, the devil will do him evil when he wants him. He knows where he is. Such people, devil likes such people. They feel very self-righteous. So anytime he needs somebody to enter, that guy is always open. So we'll keep him there for when he needs him. Why waste time? No, think about it. Why waste time on what you have already? It's what you don't have, you are pursuing. So once you go to church, Satan is on your case. I don't know how to explain. You are the one he's pursuing. Where is she coming from? Church. Who has called her recently? That her friend, that one that we easily possess. Tell him to call her. Or tell her to call him. Or tell her to call her. Whatever. And they'll call, you from my hand now, a long time. How far would this be? Now, wow. Are you not going to do something about this again? Oh, forget this church matter. Just somebody has to be practical sometimes. I sit down on the line. I'm telling you. That is Satan on the line. And that Satan is always a loved one. He's always Peter. He's not Herod. And I hear Jesus say, Herod, get behind me, Satan. No, no. He's not. You know, some people's words are not temptation to you. The only people whose words, all right, are temptation to you, all right, are the people who can call you down. Call, you know, sit down. Uh-huh. I've been meaning to talk to you. All right, be on your guard. Be on your guard. Be on your guard. What did I say? Yes, those are the people you should be afraid of. If you say the man said that, I will do you strong thing. Don't worry about that one. Not if you do anything. He can't. The one that can do you something is the one that says, sit down. I've been meaning to talk to you. These are African settings, usually your father, your mother, a senior brother, a senior cousin, people who have your good at heart, but they have not heard the words you have heard. Very important. They are feeding on something different. That's how you identify them ahead of time. What are they eating? Remember we said it was when Eve ate the fruit, when Adam ate the fruit, that their perspective towards them, about themselves and about life changed. Nothing had changed. Because something had changed, God wouldn't be asking questions. Where are you? He said, we are naked. Who told you were naked? What have you been eating? That's what happened. What have you been eating? What have you been feeding on? When somebody sits you down, let me talk to you. You know, it's your good I have at heart. It's not what you have at heart that we are talking about. It's what you have been feeding on that you want to regurgitate for me. You know how much you love me I'm talking about. It's what have you been feeding on that you want to regurgitate for me. I like what Oswald Chambers said. He said that the cost of discipleship is not what it costs you, but those that you love. Yes, that when it is time to walk with God, you often have to walk away from people that supposedly love you. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. It is not those that appear to hate you that are the problems. Oftentimes, because you see, one of the things I'm trying to explain today as we close this series is to remind us again of what exactly Satan is looking for. And when we're talking about overcoming him in your life, listen, Satan doesn't want your car. You hear what I said? The fact that your car jam doesn't mean Satan wants your car. Your car can jam. You buy another one. Amen?
Amen.
In fact, let me give you a prophetic word. Any car that jams must come back finer.
Amen.
I don't mean repair. I mean, over the next few weeks and months, God will give you something finer than the one that's spoiled.
Amen.
Any cloth that tears, buy a finer one by vexation.
Amen.
Are you getting my point?
Yes,
you have an Asian suit. Somebody burns hole in it. Buy an Italian one. Just to show that you're angry. The Lord is good? I said the Lord is good. The truth is that, forget, that's not what Satan is looking for. He's not, he doesn't want to, you know, I've never seen Satan, you know, the devil show up, maybe in the spirit wearing my suit. You know, are you getting my point? He doesn't wear suits, doesn't drive cars, he can fly about. So everything that the devil stole from me, this year he will get it back. What is it? My job. The devil didn't take your job, you just lost it. Somebody else took it. The devil didn't take your money. You lost it, somebody else collected it. What the devil takes is your faith. That's what he's looking for. Are you getting my point? So even though you lost the job or the car or the money, don't worry about that. Check what is the faith that I'm still holding on to. That's what the devil is looking for. So if indeed, in quotes now, he's the one that stole the car. You know the story of Job's, you know Job's story now? Satan came and this one, what was Satan going to do with his children? What was he going to do with his goods? Is the other people that took them. What he was looking for is the words of unbelief. The words of unbelief that Job will utter and say, God is not the good God I thought he was. That's what he wanted. He wanted Job to say, we have served the Lord in vain. That's what he was looking for. He wanted to, like his wife said, he wanted Job to curse God and so he can die and escape all his pain. Oh, I lost motor, I lost house, I lost relationship, I lost this one. Satan had not yet touched anything yet. What he wanted that would satisfy him are those words. That it's vain that we have served the Lord. And you know, it's in the scriptures like that. Malachi chapter 3. Is it chapter 3 or chapter 4? But the Bible said, but those that fear the Lord speak often one to another. That is what you say at such times that God is looking out for. And that's actually what Satan wants also. When you speak words of unbelief, then he has really stolen something. Let's continue reading. We're in verse what? All right, verse 4. Let's get back to 3 just to take it together. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone or by bread alone. If you read the account in Matthew, it says, but by every word of God shall man live. And the Bible says again in verse 5, he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours. Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then he went to the next one, led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle on the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And he gave him a scripture that he read upside down. You understand? And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. He didn't leave him entirely. Let me just let you know this quickly. The devil will never leave you alone entirely. How did he leave him? Okay, if you have some Bible says for a season, I use the New American Standard. It says until an opportune time. That is looking for another opportunity. You will find out that Satan never left Jesus alone. It was always, he always came after him, but not the way people think. Satan was not the one trying to kill him before his time, really. It was human beings. What Satan wanted, all right, was when people, someone like Peter would come and say to him, "This thing that you know is the counsel of God for your life, you must not obey it." That's where Satan is waiting. This one that we know, you know, that is the counsel of God for your life, don't obey it. That's where he's waiting. That's the opportunity. That's the opportunity when pressure comes. He goes into the garden. In fact, you know Mel Gibson, if you remember Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ, I like the way he did it. When Jesus was in the garden, you see the devil showed up, you know, was whispering and telling him things and all of that. Why? That was an opportunity because there was a problem in front. Something terrible was about to happen. And I'm going to talk about that again, how to handle those situations, all right? It's always, that is what prayer is about. Look, you are not supposed to be doing all night prayer. Oh God, this year, you will give me a car. This year, my husband is coming. This year, my wife is coming. All night. That's a bad prayer point. What did I call it? No. That's not a good prayer point. It's not. The time you spend time on things like that is like Jesus did in the garden. I know this is what I am supposed to do. My understanding points in this direction. I feel a leading in my heart that this is where I'm supposed to go. You know, my friend, one of my friends, who I've talked about a number of times, Pastor Courage in Sokoto, he came down to the south to preach somewhere recently. One of our brothers there was telling me that when he explained that he had been in Sokoto pastoring a church for 17 years, they couldn't understand. Like, what is the special reason? Why, of all the places in Nigeria to go and do ministry, you got up, you have a love for the Sultan or something. Is there something personal? I don't know. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes. It was difficult for them to conceive. I used to preachers who come from all over the world, you know, different places where life is comfortable. Nobody's threatening to lynch you for preaching in the name of Jesus. Now, why did I tell the story? But then you now feel it leading in your spirit that God is calling you in that direction. Oh boy, there's no Ogboju in that too. You hear what I said? There's no Ogboju. I'm a bold man. I'm just going to get up and go. Just buy tomorrow's newspaper, you change your mind. Once you buy the next day's newspaper, you are going to change your mind. What do you do at such time? That is what temptation is. Go and check it. When Jesus was angry with Peter speaking, and he discerned the spirit behind what Peter was saying, and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." What did Peter say to him? He said, "Jesus, you know, this marriage thing, finally I arranged one girl for you." Was that what he said? Are you getting my point? Or Herod has, "Sir, please, I need to see you. What happened?" Herod sent about 3 talents of gold. I said, "If we just take it and stop preaching in this district, our ministry can move further." No, think about it. Was that what? No, you know, that's what a lot of us call temptation. Say, "Herod sent gold, that we should stop preaching the way we are preaching." You know, the other day you called him a fox. They went and told him. The man don't gauge, say enough, he behead you. So, we are thinking that maybe we should move away. This is 2 talents of gold. That was not what happened. Satan was not that stupid to tempt Jesus with such a thing. What happened? Jesus was saying that, you know, the time is going to come, I have to leave you guys, and the leaving is not just by taking taxi. I am going to be beaten. I'm going to be arrested. And then they are going to raise his stick up. And Peter was wondering, what are you talking about? And they are going to beat me. You know those kind of, I don't know whether you get the point. It's like Bishop Edeku comes to me and says, time is going to come. I won't have money to eat. I like the way you laughed over there. He said, sir, yes, I will look for Keke Napep to travel and not go find. Sir, all the universities will reject me. Uh-uh, what are you talking about? I thought you built 4 universities. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Primary school, I will not be able to go. What do you do? I will come here and say, praise the Lord, brethren, I'm just coming from ministers' conference that we had in Abuja. And Bishop Edeku was saying some things. I think we have to pray for him. You know, that's what I'm going to say. We have to pray for him. Let's begin to bind that spirit that's disturbing his mind. Let's rebuke it. I'm saying in the name of Jesus, this man has been a blessing. That will happen to Peter. That was what happened. Jesus was just talking, you know, like my wife said, one lady told her, say, Jesus, he talked some kind thing where they make person vex.